The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of November 2021. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and I am Pastor Ernie Sanders. And tonight, as we do every Friday night, we have my two highly acclaimed co-hosts. Now, let's see, who did we do go first last week? Last week, I think we went Holman first, so this week we'll go with McTernan. Highly acclaimed John McTernan.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. Blessings to you and all our listeners.
And his partner, the highly acclaimed John Coleman.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie. A pleasure to be here with you and all the listeners, and God bless you all.
All righty. Well, thank you, fellas. We got a whole lot to cover tonight, and so we got to get right to it. And the title of my message was A Sacrifice of Thanksgiving and Praise. A Sacrifice of Thanksgiving and Praise. And we left off looking at all of the things throughout the Scripture where it talks about giving thanks and praise to good Lord. We left off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. So would you fellas want to read that one through all the way through verse 20? And so, well, let's see. Last week we started with Holman. We'll start with McTernan this week.
Okay, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1.
9.
Starting at verse 9. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm in position here and about ready to go. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God.
Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe.
And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children.
That ye would walk worthily of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory.
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye had heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews.
With both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men.
Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost.
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoreth the more abundantly to see your face with great desire.
Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?
For ye are our glory and joy.
All righty. Let me ask you, going back to verse 9, for remember, brethren, that our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Did Paul have the right to demand that they be compensated for their labor?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, he's, because the Bible does tell us to take care of those that oversee us financially. You know, we're to help provide for them.
That's over in Acts 18, verse 3, in fact. Yeah, you're right. And so he says, now you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you, okay, as you know that we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom. Paul, is he encouraged the Thessalonians to live in such a way that they would bring joy and honor to God. And so here, when he says that we should live our lives in such a manner that it brings praise, it brings glory, it brings honor to God from men. So we are to honor God with a strong faith and with a strong belief in that he is who he says that he is, and he expects us to fear him, right? So do we do that? Is God who he says he is?
Sure. Yes, Pastor.
I mean, he tells us all about who he is, right? I mean, he tells us. Now, here, is there any source of information in existence that explains creation from its very beginning? Okay, in other words, how everything came into existence, where everything stands right now, and where everything's going to be in the future. Is there any other source of information that speaks with absolute certainty and authority as this King James Bible?
No. No, Pastor Ernie. All source of truth is in the King James.
So, I mean, you and I know this, right? I mean, we're not the most sophisticated and elite, theologians, or, if you will, great minds that are in existence today. But I mean,
well,
we're
Pastor Ernie. Be careful! You got to speak for yourself now.
All right,
speak for yourself on this.
Okay.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah,
Pastor Ernie. Now, I got to tell you that Johnny and I have studied this for more than 25 years, probably, the history of the Scriptures. So. We know a little bit about it.
So then, do you have any doubts about what we just said at all? Any doubts at all?
No, the King James is 100% true, doctrinally, historically, and prophetically, and no one can disprove one word of it. No one. And we've taken that challenge on many times.
I know, Pastor Ernie, just look at the prophecy in the Bible. The prophecy about Christ's first coming and the prophecy about his second coming and all those prophecies about his second coming, look at the way the world is lining up right now before our very eyes.
So would you say with over 1,800 prophecies and probably 95 to, well, or better percentage of those have been fulfilled already. You have over 580 in the New Testament alone. So how precise have they been?
100%.
Well, yeah, we go by the Old Testament about Christ's first coming, and every one of them is literal. There's no figurativeness. I mean, we can go by the time he was going to be born by the prophet Daniel, the location he was going to be born, the manner he was going to be born of a virgin, his ministry, his dying on the cross, described in Psalm 22 and in Isaiah 53 about why he's dying and his resurrection from the dead. It's all there. And then his second coming, he's coming for us to meet us in the air, but he'll come to Jerusalem. The Jews have to be back in the land. They were dispersed for, we'll say, 2,000 years. They're back. Jerusalem's the capital. No one, and they're speaking Hebrew. They have shekels for money. And no other nation in the world is like that. And the reason they're back, Pastor Ernie, is God has made an everlasting covenant. You'll see it in several scriptures, but Genesis 17, he made an everlasting covenant with Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob and with their seed. Well, the descendants are back in the land, Pastor.
So we're saying that, and we know that that's exactly, you know, precise.
John pointed out in his book, only Jesus can be the Messiah. Only Jesus. And that's ironclad.
So if we go back and we take certain passages of Scripture, say, for example, Isaiah chapter 32 would be a good. Now, that was written over 2,800 years ago. And in that passage in Isaiah chapter 32, he kind of says, let me just say this. Well, what I think I'll do is, because of time-wise, he starts out saying that, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, a rivers of water, and a dry place, in the shadow of a great rock, in a weary land. Who does that describe? Okay. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. I give you a little hint. As rivers of water in a dry place, and a shadow of a great rock.
Rivers of water in a dry place would have to be Jesus Christ.
All right. So there, now it's describing him. Now, this is written like 2,800 years ago, and he's talking about just prior to Christ entering into the millennial kingdom. This is what he's referring to. And in that time, he says, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Okay. In other words, there's a lot of things that we see happening, but we don't quite really understand all of it, even though we have the Word of God. And so there's going to be an understanding. And the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammers shall be ready to speak plainly. Now, has there ever been times when you have known what you wanted to say? You knew what you wanted to say, but you just couldn't put it to words?
That happens quite often.
Okay. Well, now listen to this. See if this does not apply precisely to today. Because now remember, when this was written, the word liberal had a positive connotation. When this was written, the word, and he's telling you that just prior to the Lord returning and going into the millennial kingdom, prior to those days, he says, the vile person shall be no more called a liberal. Now, what does vile mean?
Filthy. No good.
So would that be a person, okay, that would be repulsive to God?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So now he's saying that during the millennial kingdom, that person would no longer, the vile person would no longer be called liberal, but just prior to the Lord's return, a vile person, one that's repulsive to God, would be called a liberal. Do we see that today?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that wickedness is being exalted, Pastor.
Okay, so now remember, this was 2,800 years ago. Nor the churl said to be bountiful. A churl was a miser, okay? For the vile person shall speak villainly. What does that mean, to speak villainly?
Villainly would be foolish, wickedly, wicked, you know, evil, things, all things like that.
Is that what we get from NBC, ABC, CBS, from especially PMS, NBC, but Hollywood and the entire... What about the squat? Do we get vulgar language from the squat? And let's just say PU, The View?
Pastor Ernie, everything, it's like a faucet of filth. It's like the faucet has been opened, and it's, you name it, with filth, it's coming out.
So the vile person will speak villainy, his heart will work iniquity. Iniquity is what?
Iniquity, Pastor Ernie, is really serious, usually sexual-type sin, but includes killing children, abortion.
Okay, now listen to this. And practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry and will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. So now, do the Deathocrats today, to Hollywood, do they embrace hypocrisy? Do they embrace hypocrisy?
They've given new meaning to it.
He goes on to say, and the instruments of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices at the strong and the store, and destroy the poor with lying words when the needy speaketh right. Boy, have we seen that. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things he shall stand. So he's talking about things that are vile and disgusting, and that they're loaded with iniquity. So this was written 2,800 years ago, and it's precisely what we see today, exactly. So this tells us what? That the return of the Lord is not too far off, huh?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, Pastor Ernie, there always was some of this, what you just described there. There always was some, but now it's like the spigot has been wide open, and it's just pouring out, and they cannot seem to tell the truth, Pastor Ernie. Even when things are true that they just should say it's true, they have to add something to it, like slander, or try and malice, make it worse. They cannot tell the truth anymore. They just can't.
Okay, if you go over to, CNN or PMSNBC, you have people like that, Don Lemon. Have you ever heard him tell the truth at all? Is there any record or any evidence that he has ever told the truth about anything?
Well, I've never listened to him.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I turned that off years ago. I can't stomach that stuff, so I don't watch them at all.
Well, I've listened to him just to see if I'll ever catch him telling the truth, and I've never been able to catch him telling the truth. Not one time, okay? For this cause...
It's concerning.
Yeah.
Just the opposite of us. You know,
yeah.
There might be people out there listening to us now just waiting to catch us in a lie. But, you know, we're speaking truth, and they're waiting to catch us in a lie. Now you're going the other way. You're trying to catch them in the truth.
Yeah.
They lie like we tell the truth. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yep. And you know why? Because if you go from their father, in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus refers to as their father, the devil, was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Okay.
The beginning.
And Karl Marx told them very clearly that lying was not an elective. Lying was required. It was required, okay? And they follow the Marx playbook. Now, here, for this cause also, we thank God without ceasing. We thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as the truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Now, when we talk about the word of God, what are we referring to, the Word of God? I mean, When all through the Bible, when it refers to the Word of God, it refers to what? Preaching of the Bible, preaching of the Scriptures. And so here now, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, Christ Jesus, for you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, here, when Paul was referring to the Jews, was he referring to all of the Jews?
Well, I think he's referring, Pastor Ernie, to the ones that had risen up to try and stop the gospel.
The Judaizers, they became the Judaizers, and then there were others that were just flat-out enemies of the cross, huh?
Yes.
Okay. So what was it that the Judaizers did that was so contrary to the gospel?
Well, they wanted that. Yeah, go ahead, John.
That's all right, go ahead.
Yeah, they wanted to put them back under all the works of the law, and being your righteousness would come from the works that you were doing rather than the blood of Jesus Christ as he shed it on the cross, shed on the cross for us.
Well, didn't they? Actually, they were teaching that it was kind of split by your faith in Christ as the Messiah, but also by carrying out all of the dietary laws and that. So, in other words, are they still doing that today in Israel? Are there Orthodox Jews who recognize that Christ is the Messiah, but they still keep the laws of Moses and talk about always mentioning Father Abraham?
Well, we have that here, Pastor Ernie. It's not only in Israel.
Yeah. And so here,
I don't know about Orthodox. I don't know about the Orthodox, although I believe that there's a move on today there for the Lord. But if anybody believes that they're establishing their righteousness because they are keeping the law, that's just not right, Pastor Ernie. Our righteousness is of Christ.
So in other words, you can't mix grace and the law, right?
No, I mean, we see that in the book. That's what it was really written about.
So when I was in Israel, I talked to these who were adamantly Orthodox. That's what they claimed, that they were adamantly Orthodox. And they actually were pretty well up on especially the Old Testament, but they could not get it in their head that you can't mix law and grace, okay? And what would happen, unfortunately, they were, as you know, you've debated some of these rabbis, John, and you did a very good job. But sometimes they're not real tolerant to say, well, let's take a close look at this. They get a little bit upset when you show them, you take them right to the Word of God, okay? And so now here he says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we should come unto you, I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. So when we talk about Satan today, is Satan right now very active? And is, because if you talk to a lot of these, especially some of these more New Age out there, they'll tell you that Satan is not a reality, is not an active force today. So is Satan alive and very active today?
Absolutely.
Would you say actually more than ever?
Well, yeah, he's got a group energized straight out of hell that's working to destroy the world right now. And hopefully we're going to bring you a little of that information a little bit later, but yeah, absolutely, full bore.
All right, so here he says...
Pastor Ernie, can I
yeah.
ask something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you could see how wickedness has reached levels that have never been on the earth, really, until the time of the flood, and that's when you look at, like, homosexual marriage, or quote, making sodomy equivalent to a marriage that God, the marriage institute, the institution that God ordained. So this shows you that we're in a special wickedness, Pastor, and a time of wickedness.
Are we in a time where witchcraft and Satanism is on the rise? And then that is a sign of what?
Judgment.
Well, that, but also it's a sign of the soon return of our Lord. When we see what was, as we're watching these things happening right now. So everything we're seeing taking place right now was absolutely perfectly prophesied. When you talk about the sodomy, the witchcraft, and all of that in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all of this stuff was perfectly prophesied. So we see it happening exactly, precisely the way God's Word, the Bible, said it would. Let me read you these here.
And Pastor Ernie, I think, especially the preachers, I don't think they, because we understand it, but so many don't realize when the Supreme Court made that decision in 2016, making sodomy equivalent to marriage between a man and woman that God ordained, this was wickedness that only could be matched at the time of Sodom. I don't even know about Sodom and Gomorrah, the times of Noah. This was unbelievable insult to God with his ordination of marriage between a man and a woman in the family unit. We should have had national repentance, Pastor Ernie.
One other thing, too, very quickly, because we're up against a break, but very quickly you had what has happened is the way that this new bioweapon is changing the DNA in people. That's exactly what happened with the fallen angels when they took women
as
wives.
Exactly. And so we're two of them right there, Pastor Ernie. Yeah,
all right.
Right.
Let me do this very quickly. Verse 20, for you are our glory and our joy. Now, was the ultimate reward for Paul's ministry, was it money, was it prestige, was it fame, or was it new believers whose life had been changed by God through the preaching of the gospel?
The new believers.
Absolutely. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking.
Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. We haven't been taking it. We've been pushing back. Because God's Word, the Bible, demands from Genesis to Revelation that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And folks, John and John, do you ever have somebody where you went and a company or a store gives you excellent service worth mentioning? And that's what I'm going to do, because we had a real disaster here in the house. We had a septic tank backup, and it was a disaster. I mean, but I called my good friend Tom Steigerwalt, and over there, Steigerwalt Plumbing. He has pumps, septic tank, and residential, industrial, commercial, electric, sewer cleaning, all of that stuff, aeration pumps. And I called him, what did he do? Even though they were very, very, very busy, right away, he sent his son, who's a technician, Mike. And he said, Mike, get over there and fix old pastor up. And he did. And I want to praise the good Lord, even on that day, because we had a real disaster. And they were right out right away and helped us out. So for you folks out there, I want to just give a heads up to Tom Steigerwalt. And they're in Chesterland. They're on 8678 Mayfield Road in Chesterland, Ohio. And if you have, I know when I have a problem, any type of problem with septic systems and that, I always call him, and when I had rental properties, I would always call him. And if you have a problem, I would write this number down, you folks out in the Geauga County area. It's 729-2182, 729-2182, and I highly recommend Tom Steigerwalt and his company. Now, I got some other quick announcements to make coming up here. This one is coming up this weekend, folks. We have... You've probably heard about these, Dr. Carrie Maggi and Dr. Lee Merritt, Attorney Tom Rentz, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and Attorney Robert Owens. We've had them all on the program here, and they're going to be right here in the area on Tuesday, November 30th. They're going to be at the church on the North Coast in Valley View from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., folks, this will be something you don't want to really miss it. And then Wednesday, December 1st, they're going to be in Medina, and that is at 7291 Stone Road in Medina, Ohio. And I'm looking for more information. You can call Lisa Woods at 330-241-5226. For more information on this, you can call Lisa Woods at 330-241-5226. And that's coming up, and they're going to be discussing what is happening. You'll get the truth from these frontline doctors. And, of course, Tom Rentz, he's been going after those who have been made victims, and he's defending the Christians who have been hassled by corrupt attorneys in courts and bogus laws. So now one more quick announcement, and that is this, and I highly encourage people to mark their calendar for Sunday. It's a week from this Sunday, December 5th. Every year, Geauga County Right to Life. Now, folks, Geauga County Right to Life, in this ministry, we've worked in their house, right in Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And since 1974, we've saved over 24,000 babies from a cruel and painful death of abortion. And it's all volunteer. They don't get paid. Nobody gets paid. And Geauga County Right to Life and have to, all the people, Doers of the Word, are part of that. They have, every year, the Geauga County Christian, that's the Chester Christian Center, Assembly of God Church, Chester Christian Center, they put on every year a Christmas concert. And they have several very gifted local musicians with a variety of instruments and arrangements. They're really good. But, you know, in the last couple of years, it's been, with all of this COVID stuff, it's been waning, and they're wondering, the attendance, that is, you know, is it worth all that practice and everything? I'm encouraging you folks. I'll be out there, Lord's willing. I will be there, as I've never missed one yet. And I will be there, and this on at 7 p.m. December 5th. You folks out there in the Lake, Geauga, in Cuyahoga County area, I urge you to attend this. It's just, there's no cost to it. They do take up a love offering. For more information, you can call Pastor Bruce at 216-299-6909, 216-299-6909, or the Chester Christian Center at 440-533-1395. That's 440-533-1395. Do that. Okay, got my announcements out of the way, so tell me what's happening. John Holman, what you know about Mr., well, I guess his name is Mr. Fauci.
Some very interesting things that we uncovered, Pastor Ernie. I became curious about Fauci and what his belief system was, and so I began to research him, and then John and I were discussing this, and then the Lord revealed more to us about him. So, Pastor Ernie, what I did was I looked up, you know, kind of got as far back as I could into his childhood. He was raised as in a Catholic family, and his parents owned a pharmacy, and he delivered prescriptions. And so he was raised in a Catholic family, and he was sent to a Jesuit college. And for those that are not familiar with Jesuits, they are the strong arm, the army of the Catholic Church that was sent out to destroy Protestants. And that's a whole other history piece, but needless to say, they did a pretty good job, but God stopped them several times on their mission, and they are still in existence today, and you can look them up. But I'll give you the essence of the oath they took. They took an oath to destroy Protestants and by any violent means, whether they were under order or not. So he went to the Jesuit college, and he graduated medical school, and he became a career, I'll call him a political doctor or whatever you want to have it in the government. But at some time, and it's not very well published, he embraced humanism. Now, this is where it got interesting, and I began to research humanism. And I found out that humanism, these organizations, and there are multiple organizations of humanism, they somewhat coalesced. They are coalesced. And if you dig deep into what they've been doing, they have become the most destructive force of American culture by their means and desire to take God out of our culture and around the world. And they make no bones about it. That is their mission, is to remove all vestiges from God. And really, they state that to be a humanist, you need to be either an atheist or at minimal an agnostic. And their motto is good without God. Now, to me, that's an oxymoron. However, they were embraced by Dr. Fauci. And guess who was the humanist man of the year for 2021?
Let me guess. Ready? Listen, because, you know, I'm psyche. Anthony Fauci.
Yes, they made him the humanist of the year. And he's joined the ranks of people like Margaret Sanger. Now, maybe a lot of people don't know that. John, tell them about Margaret Sanger.
Well, Margaret Sanger, going back, in the early part of the 1900s, she led the charge for women's, we're going to say, reproductive rights. She also was a really hardcore racist, but she was a little bit more than a racist. She was against what we would call today, John, the deplore, or not we call, but what the Hillary Clinton and
she was a eugenicist.
Yeah, that's where I was going, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, she wanted to sterilize. In fact, she fit in perfect with the Nazis. She had really the same type of agenda as the Nazis. That's Margaret Sanger.
She had communications with Hitler, right?
Yeah, she was a contemporary Hitler, and not only that, but I listened to her make a speech to the Ku Klux Klan. I listened to the whole, and she was adamantly. She referred to black people, the founder of Planned Parenthood, as human weeds, weeds that need to be plucked and pulled.
Yeah, and her people, John, brought Nazi eugenicists over here and put them on tours around the United States. Go ahead, John.
That's exactly right. Now, keep in mind, this is what Anthony Fauci has embraced. He has embraced Margaret Sanger philosophy, and the humanists brag about, really, they state that Planned Parenthood really wasn't leading the charge for reproductive rights for women, and they cite a case on their website where they did. They're very proud that they initiated abortion rights in the United States. Now, keep in mind, Anthony Fauci is their man of the year. So he has embraced their philosophy and their activities. So now we have the humanists taking credit for aborting babies. I don't know how many, 80, 90 million in our country alone.
And much more than that. It's way over 100 million. Remember, a common practice in the child killing industry is to only report one out of every two babies you kill. That's been a common practice from the beginning.
Okay. And that offense is not going to be overlooked in the final analysis with the Lord. Our nation is going to, I believe, pay one way or another for all that innocent blood that was shed. So Anthony Fauci embraces that philosophical position. And so here he is. He's now taken the course that he had took with handling the AIDS epidemic. He got latched on to a drug called AZT, and he pushed it and pushed it, full knowing that it was not effective long term and that it was killing people, but he continued to push AZT for AIDS, and he's following the same pattern today.
And then it was reported that his organization experimented on beagles. I think probably a lot of people are aware of that.
So and children.
Life philosophy.
And babies. And babies. There was like 35 babies they experimented on.
Okay.
Yeah, Pastor
so
Ernie, that was
life
New York
philosophy.
City. Yeah. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, they did that in New York City. They took abandoned AIDS children and under the auspices of his federal agency, and they just, with no protection, no legal protection, they just experimented on them with these drugs. And several, many of the babies died, young children, they were more than babies. They were young, so many of them died under these treatments with no legal protection. And also, John, I wanted to mention to you, not for this to get away, the current Pope is a Jesuit.
Yes.
And he has embraced humanism. He is just this week, the Pope gave a speech embracing humanism.
Yes. Yes. And, so, you know, here it is. Fauci is kind of essentially in charge of the world's healthcare with this biological weapon. And that's what I'll call it, because until I'm convinced otherwise, that's what I believe it is. And he's following the same pattern, and he knows that the masks are useless. He knows that the, quote, it's not a vaccine. The manipulation of our genes is a total failure. He knows all that, and he knows people are dying because of that, and that they're dying because of his lying. So he has no compunction that he has for human, none for the animals, none for the babies, none for the people of the world, because he operates on a philosophy that he is essentially replaced God. So whatever he does, whatever he says is, you know, right in his mind. The Bible says that come a time when men will only do what's right in their own mind. And we're here and we're that. And this man has no business in charge of any one singular person's health care, let alone the position he is. So what we're telling you is that this guy's a monster. He wants to rid the United States of Christianity. He believes that he is in place of God. He believes that everything that he believes is moral, correct, and right is moral, correct, and right. And so you need to start making phone calls. Put pressure. He's got to go. This man has got to go. He's probably the most dangerous man, in my opinion, in the world right now. And as John pointed out, the Pope embraced humanism this week. And if you go on the Internet and you look at the Vatican News, you can find the article where he did. And so you see the merging of the humanist organization, which was responsible for perpetrating some of the most evil deeds, and the Pope joining with them. And then you have the Masons, right, John? It's all blending together.
Yeah.
So please, folks, now you know that this man, he's evil. He's evil in his mind, and he's evil in his actions. So I'm asking that you folks start making phone calls. He's got to go.
Well, when you talk about making phone calls, first of all, right now we don't have a Justice Department. You know, it would be up. Look, this guy is guilty of mass genocide. Fauci is guilty of mass genocide. Anyone and everyone that says that's not true is a liar, and there's no truth in him. Okay, he's guilty. Now, the problem of it is it would be up to the Justice Department to prosecute him. He's lied to Congress on several occasions. I've listened to him lying to Congress, okay? Rand Paul has come out and said on several occasions, this man has lied to Congress. He's committed and reminded him, you're under oath, okay? But it's up to the Justice Department, okay, and we don't have a Justice Department. What used to be the Justice Department was an independent agency, now is simply a part of the Democratic Communist Party. The fellow that's in charge of that so-called, the Attorney General, is a communist to the bone. He is anti-Christ. He is an anti-Christian. And he is, Merrick Garland, he is a traitor. The guy is a traitor to all Americans. So we don't have a Justice Department. We don't have an FBI any longer independent. The FBI now works for a part of the Democratic Party. So who are they going to call?
Well, I guess they can call their representatives and their senators and at least complain, make it known. Maybe they can put some pressure publicly on the Justice Department to do something. But I understand what you're saying, Pastor Ernie, but I think it's still worth making a phone call.
Well, yeah, you got the right to, and even a duty. You're absolutely right to call it and read them the Riot Act, okay? You know, I called the Justice Department when Abomination was in. I know I mentioned this before. And I talked to several lawyers. There's several. They have hundreds of attorneys. And I asked them, do you know of any Christians at all with hundreds of attorneys for the Justice Department working there? And one would say, well, I don't, but maybe this guy does. And they would put me over from one to the other, and none of them could tell me that they knew of any Christians. At least they were, forthright enough to say, no, we don't know of any Christians at all that are here. What does that tell you?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I can vouch for that. When I was an agent, I didn't know any U.S. or assistant United States attorney that was a Christian at all.
So,
now, there were agents. There were federal agents that I knew, but not on the attorneys, not the in the Justice Department.
Yeah, I knew federal agents. We had several of them. In fact, Ted Gunderson was a really good friend of mine. And, he was an FBI chief, but I knew several. But I don't know of any now. I don't know of any today left at all. I mean, I'm hoping that there may be some.
They've been purged out, Pastor Ernie, mostly by, I think, retirement. And then the ones that came in are the new breed now, Pastor.
Okay. We're going to be listening here.
And I want to add here real quick, Pastor Ernie, is people want the proof of this. It is posted. This information is posted on our news website on Facebook, Perry County Real News. And I'm sure John will be posting it on his blog as well. So you want the proof, it's there for you.
Okay, when we're going to be going to a break here. When we come back from that break, we're going to be hearing first, Dr. Daryl Wolf is going to lead off, and then he is going to, we're going to go to a fellow who's from the Vatican, who's in the Vatican. His name, and the title is Father Alexis Bugnolo. And he's talking about 2 million to die over the next 12 months, get ready to bury the dead. So listen to him. And tell me what you guys think when we come back. And also, the word Cleveland.com, we're going to get a word about that. Be right back with more, because we want to talk about how folks can get this program on the archives.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.